A second chance. 9. The scriptures advise us to chant only the name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. There are thousands of names of Vishnu, and in one sense Krishna and Vishnu are the same, yet the scriptures explain that chanting a thousand names of Vishnu gives the result of chanting the name Rama just once, and chanting Rama 3 times gives the result of chanting Krishna once. In other words, one automatically gets all good results just by chanting the holy name of Krishna. Caitanya Mahaprabhu therefore recommends this chanting process, according to Shastric injunction. Haranam 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 Eva Kevalam Kala Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Nasti Eva Gadaranirtha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Brand Naradiya Purana. By taking up this chanting process, we are immediately freed from all sinful reactions. Thus we begin our spiritual life. Without being freed from sinful life, there is no possibility of becoming a pure Vaisnava. Offenses against the holy name. Even a devotee may sometimes commit some sinful activity, either unknowingly or due to past sinful behavior. But if he sincerely repents, thinking, "I should not have done this, but I'm so sinful that I have again committed this sin," the Supreme Lord will excuse him on the basis of his genuine repentance. However, if he intentionally commits sinful activities, expecting that the Lord will forgive him because he is chanting Hare Krishna, that is inexcusable. If one commits sinful activities on the strength of chanting the holy name, he commits nama aparadha, or an offense against the holy name. Of the 10 kinds of offenses, committing sins on the strength of chanting is the most serious. If after being freed from all sinful reactions, by chanting Hare Krishna one again commits the same sins, he is guilty of a grievous crime. For an ordinary man, that sinful activity may not be regarded so seriously, but for one who is chanting Hare Krishna, it is a dangerous offense, just as it is a serious crime for a government officer in a high post to take advantage of his position and accept a bribe. Such men are the most punishable criminals. If a policeman steals, his crime and subsequent punishment are greater than that of an ordinary man who steals. That is the law. Similarly, one who takes gross advantage of the Hare Krishna mantra, thinking, "I'm chanting Hare Krishna, so even if I commit some sin I'll be excused," will not achieve the ultimate goal of chanting the holy Nam. He becomes entangled in a cycle. He is freed, then he again commits sin, then he is freed, and again commits sin, freed and again commits sin. In this way he is never liberated. Nevertheless, one should not think that one's sinful reactions will fail to be counteracted by the chanting of Hare Krishna. One of the 10 offenses against the holy name of the Lord is to think that the holy name cannot eradicate sinful reactions. Those who cultivate offenseless chanting of the Hare Krishna Mata mantra should have firm faith in the words of the Shastra, that declare the chanting of the holy names of Krishna to be supremely powerful. As the Vishnu Dutas say here, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for all kinds of sinners. But very often the difficulty is that one will chant Hare Krishna and again commit sin. The perfection of chanting, the key to successful chanting, therefore, is to carefully avoid sin altogether. By chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, a person is freed from all reactions to his previous sins, and if he avoids sinning again, he very quickly becomes an advanced devotee. His mind becomes fixed upon the lotus feet of Krishna. If we regularly chant Hare Krishna without offense, we shall remain free from all sinful reaction, and our attachment for the Supreme Lord in devotional service will increase. Once there was an argument between Thakura Hiridisa and an ignorant so-called Brahmana concerning the power of the holy name of Krishna. In an assembly of Vaisnavas, Hiridisa Thakura said, "Not only does a person become situated on the spiritual platform, Brahma-bhuta, by offenselessly chanting the holy names of the Lord, but his dormant love of Godhead manifests, and he becomes liberated automatically." The Brahmana protested, "Don't exaggerate the effects of chanting in this way. One becomes liberated only after performing many austerities and penances. But you say that simply by chanting Hare Krishna one becomes liberated. If that is not the case, I shall certainly cut off your nose." Hiridisa Thakura replied, "If chanting Hare Krishna does not produce liberation as a byproduct, then I shall cut off my nose." The members of the assembly witnessing this argument became extremely agitated upon seeing the great offense the Brahmana had committed against Hiridisa Thakura, and they immediately expelled the offender. Shortly thereafter, the Brahmana contracted leprosy, and his beautiful nose melted away. This incident is narrated in Sri Caitanya Charitamrita. There are three stages of chanting the holy name: chanting with offense, chanting as a liberated person, and chanting with full love of God. These progressive stages of chanting are like the ripening of a mango. An unripe mango tastes sour, but when the fruit is fully ripened, it tastes very sweet. Initially we may be reluctant to chant, but when we become liberated the chanting is so sweet that we cannot give it up. In this regard, Srila Rupa Goswami has composed a beautiful verse describing the sweetness of the holy name of Krishna. Tantandavani Radham Vitranutandavali Labdhe Karnal Krodakadambani Kateya Karnarbhidebhyas Brahm Setaprangana Sangani Vijayat Sarvendriyanam Kirtim No Jane Janatukayad Pater Amrte Krishniti Varnadve. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krsnat have produced. When we chant the holy name of Krishna, it appears to dance within the mouth, and we then desire many, many mouths. When the name of Krishna enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. These are the symptoms of one who is on the liberated platform of chanting. At that stage, called Brahma, one has a great relish for chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. But this stage is attainable only if one follows the regulative principles. We have to be cautious. After being cured of a diseased condition, we first enter the convalescent stage. If we do something wrong, the disease may return. It is not that we become liberated and can do anything and everything. At all times we have to stick by the regulative principles of devotional life, accumulated benefits from chanting the holy name. Srila Visvanatha Chakravarti Thakura provides additional insight into the power of the holy name in his commentary to verses 9 and 10. He writes this commentary in the former dialogue concerning how one can become free from all sinful reactions simply by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Someone may say, it may be accepted that by chanting the holy name of the Lord one becomes freed from all the reactions of sinful life. However, if a person commits sinful acts in full consciousness, not only once, but many times, he is unable to free himself from the reactions of such sins, even after atoning for them for 12 years or more. How is it possible, then, that simply by once chanting the holy name of the Lord one immediately becomes freed from the reactions of such sins? Visvanatha Chakravarti Thakura replies, by quoting verses 9 and 10 of this chapter, the chanting of the holy name of Lord Vishnu is the best process of atonement for one who steals gold or other valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, or for a person who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method of atonement for a person who murders his father, the king, or women, for one who slaughters cows, and for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons attract the attention of the Supreme Lord, who then considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. One may atone for sinful life and vanquish all sinful reactions by chanting the holy name, and this is beyond ordinary atonement. Ordinary atonement may temporarily protect a sinful person, but it does not completely cleanse his heart of the deep-rooted desire to commit sinful acts. Therefore, atonement is not as powerful as the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. In the Sastras it is said that, if a person only once chants the holy name and completely surrenders unto the lotus feet of the Lord immediately considers him his ward, and is always inclined to give him protection. This is confirmed by Sridharaswami. Thus when Ajamila was in great danger of being carried off by the order carriers of Yamaraja, the Lord immediately sent his personal order carriers to protect him, and because Ajamila was freed from all sinful reactions, the Vishnu Duta spoke on his behalf. Ajamila had named his son Narayana, and because he loved the boy very much, he would call him again and again. Although he was calling for his son, the name itself was powerful, Because the name Narayana is not different from Lord Narayana. When Ajamila named his son Narayana, all the reactions of his sinful life were neutralized, and as he continued calling his son, and thus chanting the holy name of Narayana thousands of times, he was actually unconsciously advancing in Krishna consciousness. One may argue, since Ajamila was constantly chanting the name of Narayana, how was it possible for him to be associating with a prostitute and thinking of wine? By his sinful actions, he was bringing suffering upon himself again and again, and therefore one may say that only his chanting of the holy name of Narayana at the time of death, and not his chanting during his lifetime, was the cause of his being freed. However, his chanting during his life would then have been a nama aparadha. Namno baladyasaya hypapabuddhin, one who continues to act sinfully, and tries to neutralize his sins, by chanting the holy name of the Lord is a nama aparadhi, an offender to the holy name. In response, it may be said that Ajamila's chanting throughout his life was inoffensive, because he did not chant the name of Narayana with the purpose of counteracting his sins. He was in so much illusion that he did not realize he was addicted to sinful actions, nor did he know that his chanting of the holy name Narayana was neutralizing them. Thus, during his life, he did not commit a nama aparadha, and his repeated chanting of the holy name of Narayana while calling his son may be called pure chanting. Because of this pure chanting, Ajamila unconsciously accumulated the results of bhakti, devotional service. Indeed, even his first utterance of the holy name was sufficient to nullify all the sinful reactions of his life. To cite a logical example, a fig tree does not immediately yield fruits, but in time the fruits are available. Similarly, Ajamila's devotional service grew little by little, and therefore although he committed very sinful acts, the reactions did not affect him. In the sastras it is said that, if one chants the holy name of the Lord even once, the reactions of past, present, or future sinful life do not affect him. To give another example, if one extracts the poison fangs of a serpent, this saves the serpent's future victims from poisonous effects, even if the serpent bites repeatedly. Similarly, if a devotee chants the holy name even once inoffensively, this protects him eternally. He need only wait for the results of the chanting to mature in due course of time. Chapter 16. Awakening love of God. The Vishnu duties continued by following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement. Sinful men do not become as purified as by once chanting the holy name of Lord Hari. Although ritualistic atonement may free one from sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes, and paraphernalia. The ritualistic ceremonies of atonement recommended in the religious scriptures are insufficient to cleanse the heart absolutely, because after atonement one's mind again runs toward material activities. Consequently, for one who wants liberation from the fruitive reactions of material activities, The chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra, or glorification of the name, fame, and pastimes of the Lord, is recommended as the most perfect process of atonement, because such chanting completely eradicates the dirt from one's heart. At the time of death, Ajamila helplessly and very loudly chanted the holy name of Narayana. That chanting alone has already freed him from the reactions of all sinful life. Therefore, O servants of Yamaraja, do not try to take him to your master for punishment in hellish conditions. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reactions of unlimited sins, even if he chants the holy name jokingly, for musical entertainment, neglectfully, or even to indicate something else. This is accepted by all learned scholars of the scriptures. If a person somehow or other chants the holy name of Hari while dying because of an accident, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones, while traveling on the road, being bitten by a snake, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, he is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even if he was sinful throughout his life. Learned scholars and sages have carefully ascertained that one should atone for the heaviest sins by undergoing a heavy process of atonement, and one should atone for lighter sins by undergoing lighter atonement. But chanting the Hare Krishna mantra vanquishes all the effects of sinful activities, regardless of whether heavy or light. Although one may neutralize the reactions of sinful life through austerity, charity, vows, and other such methods, these pious activities cannot uproot the material desires in one's heart. However, one who serves the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead is immediately freed from all such contaminations. As a fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, unfailingly burns to ashes all the reactions of one's sinful activities. Even if a person is unaware of the potency of a certain medicine, if he takes that medicine, or is forced to take it, it will act even without his knowledge, for its potency does not depend on the patient's understanding. Similarly, even though one does not know the value of chanting the holy name of the Lord, if one chants the holy name, knowingly or unknowingly, the chanting will be very effective. Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued speaking to King Pariksit, "My dear king, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajamila from the bondage of the Yamadutas, and saved him from imminent death. Then the Yamadutas went to Yamaraja, and explained to him everything that had happened. The Brahmana Ajamila was now free from fear, having been released from the nooses of Yamaraja's servants. Coming to his senses, he immediately offered obeisances to the Vishnudutas by bowing his head at their lotus feet. He was extremely pleased by their presence, for he had seen them save his life from the hands of the servants of Yamaraja. But when the Vishnudutas saw that Ajamila was attempting to say something, they suddenly disappeared from his presence, Srimad Bhagavatam 6.2.11-23. Atonement versus chanting the holy name. Here the Visnudutas say that the Vedic scriptures recommend various means of atonement by which a person may be delivered from the reactions of his sinful activities. In Christianity there is also a means of atonement. If a Catholic commits a sin, for example, he is instructed to go to a priest and confess, "I have committed such and such sin." The priest is supposed to be an authorized representative of God, and so if he excuses the sinner becomes nullified. However, such atonement cannot purify the sinful man as much as the purifying process of chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. The man who confesses to having sinned leaves the church and often commits the same sin again. In other words, there is no question of becoming purified by this process of atonement. Still, atonement of various kinds is recommended in the Vedas for those who are not ready to take up the process of pure devotional service. These methods of atonement are proportional to the severity of the sin they are meant to counteract. For example, if we fall sick with a cough or influenza, the cost of medicine prescribed by the doctor may be little, but if we are stricken with tuberculosis, the medicine will be more costly. Likewise, prayasita, or the ritualistic ceremonies for counteracting sinful activities, is proportionately less or greater according to the gravity of the sin. If we commit a grievous sin, then the penance will be severe. These are the prescriptions given by great sages like Parasara Muni and Manu. The sages have composed 20 kinds of scriptures, constituting the Dharma Sastra, and these scriptures are meant for atoning for one's sins and elevating one to the heavenly planets. For example, it is said that, if one has committed certain crimes, he must vow to fast for a certain number of days or give charity. Or, a businessman who has earned $1 million by sinful activities must give in charity accordingly. There are many such prescribed methods of atonement, but here the Visnudutas say, although these prescribed methods of atonement are authorized and true, they cannot purify the heart. We can see that, even though the adherents of Hinduism, Mohammedanism, and Christianity perform such rituals of atonement, they cannot refrain from again committing the same sins. One who practices these principles of atonement is like a rascal patient who goes to a physician for treatment. The physician gives him medicine and instructs him how to take it, but the foolish patient takes the medicine according to his own whims, and so his condition worsens. Again he goes to the physician, crying, "Doctor, please give me more medicine." In this regard, Srila Visvanatha Chakravarti Thakura describes an incident that took place when Sambha, one of Lord Krishna's sons, was rescued from the punishment of the Kauravas. Sambha fell in love with Lakshmana, the daughter of Duryodhana, and since according to Kshatriya custom one is not offered to Kshatriya's daughter, unless he displays his chivalrous valor, Sambha abducted her. Consequently Sambha was arrested by the Kauravas. Later, when Lord Balarama came to rescue him, There was an argument about Samba's release. Since the argument was not settled, Bellarmine showed his power in such a way that all of Hastinapura trembled, and would have been vanquished, as if by a great earthquake. Then the matter was settled, and Samba married Duryodhana's daughter. The purport is that one should take shelter of Krishna and Bellarmine, whose protective power is so great that it cannot be equaled in the material world. However powerful the reactions of one's sins, they will immediately be vanquished if one chants the name of Hari, Krishna, Bellarmine, or Narayana. Therefore such rituals of atonement as fasting and giving charity are not accepted by the Vishnudutas. They say, such prescribed ritualistic ceremonies cannot purify a man as effectively as chanting the holy name of God. Undoubtedly one becomes free from all contamination of sinful life by executing particular religious principles, but these are ultimately insufficient, because the mind is so disturbed that, even after being freed from the contamination of sinful reactions, the mind again becomes attracted to sinful activity.